Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Gift of Gaming podcast in 2025. We hope your Christmas and New Year's was sufficiently overindulgent and, of course, gaming-focused. In our first episode of 2025, we're looking back on all the gaming news from December, from Ubisoft looking for a buyout, to Xbox possibly no longer looking at exclusives, and even the news that publishers are delaying release dates in fear of GTA 6. It's all here on a brand new year for the Gift of Gaming podcast. Alright, what's up? It's me, your host, Darren Wade, and today I'm joined by the artist formerly known as Mr. Xbox Games Pass himself, Luke Maycock, and of course the console-hating, PC-playing, lore-seeking, full-time Canadian himself, only back from the Great White North, Chris Robbins.
It's happening.
How are those energy levels, Chris?
They're pretty low, man. My schedule's been all over the place. I'm kind of just napping more than just actually getting sleep, so...
A couple
hours here and there. Yeah.
That's tough. Yeah, if you hear snoring at some point during the show, it just means Chris has fallen asleep.
Please ignore him. Please ignore. He needs it. Yeah, he needs it. Luke, how was your Christmas and New Year's? We haven't done this since pre-Christmas.
Yeah, good. It's been really good. I've been playing just buckets of games. Steam Winter Sales were kind to me.
I picked up a couple things.
Gabe Claus came and I got like Baldur's Gate 3, which I've just been... totally in love with.
So good.
I'm so late to the party, but it is just the best.
You're like, so late to the party, but the majority of people still haven't finished that game.
One of these days.
Yeah. I had a thing the other day where I was up at a friend's house, and I've been talking about this game to other people, and people have been really good about not spoiling it. But I was talking to a friend up in his house, my friend John, and he was like, where are you at in the game? And I was like, oh, this is kind of happening. He was like, no, but what act are you on? And I was like, I don't know. He was like, but have you seen, like... what do you mean you don't know? Like, what's the last thing that's happened? And I described it to him and he was like, oh, so you're still on act one? And I was like, am I? I'm still on act one.
Yeah, man. There's only three acts in the game and I think my playtime on it's like maybe 190-ish hours. And I never
made it on act one and I'm probably around the same.
Yeah, yeah. I got a couple hours into act two, but like there's so many things that happen that I was like, oh, but I want to try this character. I want to try that loadout or, you know, kind of class creation. So yeah, I have like 190 odd hours and I'm not even close. Halfway through the game I probably got at most.
And I get the kind of hyper end where Larian, do you remember when it came out and studios were kind of, not criticizing Larian, but kind of like announcing to the games industry that like, hey,
don't expect this
is a ridiculous amount of content for a AAA game. And at the time I was like, ah, pish, you're just not doing your work. And then I haven't even got to the end of Act 1 and I'd be happy if the game just said game over, like after I did my next thing. Like,
yeah,
that's so much content. But the fact that there's two more acts is nuts.
You got a lot left. Now, in fairness, I think Act 1 is the longest in terms of content. I think Act 2 and Act 3 are smaller. But it's an outrageous amount for a game to have. But I also, that was one of the things that really annoyed me. I was like, just pull your trousers up with other AAA companies and make better games, you know? That whole, like, on the defense being like, no, you can't expect a finished game. Yeah. Heavens no, we wouldn't allow that. Like,
you know? You definitely Project don't Riot. Own it.
Yeah. Chris, what were you, I'm assuming you were Steam decking it? And your
Back in Canada, yeah. The same typical Canadian rotation of plenty of couch co-op games. But in my own time, I platinumed, as you say, Dave the Diver.
Oh, so what a game. What a game.
It's pretty fun. I was kind of, I don't know, frustrated with a lot of it, though. There's like a lot of like, you just want to get back and fish, and there's just like three people trying to tell you, like, oh, you got to go do this, you got to go do this. No, you can't catch sharks today. You got to catch shrimp for this party that's coming up. I was like, fuck off, man.
Yeah, yeah. I loved it. And like, it was nice. I think towards the end of the game, I was getting a little bit of the fatigue. I was like, oh, I've done this. Like, I've maxed out my restaurant. And now I'm just kind of like doing the last. Like, you have to find Mjolnir in the actual hammer. trapped in ice, and then use that to kill a couple of fish to get like one of the trophies. And that took me a little bit, like, to find that. I was like, oh my god, like, please.
That's as long as mine was getting them fucking Tamagotchi things leveled up.
Oh, so I was doing that right from the get go because I actually
I did too, but I always ended up with the same shit. And apparently, it's because you just have to like treat them differently.
So. Starve them.
Yeah, starve them. Like,
I've been starving them, teasing them, singing out of key.
What is this?
You have, like, there's an app. You have a phone with loads of apps, and you can do lots of things as a side to your general swim. You're fishing for fish, and then working in the restaurant. But one of them is just like, it's essentially just a Tamagotchi. You hatch a thing, you have to feed it and play with it, and train it and clean up its poo and make sure it's healthy. So it's essentially just like a really like a simple Tamagotchi thing. But in order to get the trophy, you have to grow 5 different variants of the Tamagotchi. So yeah, it's a bit of a pain in the ass because it took me a while to realize that it wasn't like randomly if you just, because I was like trying to max out their food and their happiness all the time. Yeah. So be like, oh great, they're happy. But I always just grew into this dolphin thing. And I was like, I'm so fucking sick of you. Where's my other type? Like, you know, but we got there in the end, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to In the Jungle, the DLC. I mean, I don't know if it's this year.
Oh, yeah. We don't know anything else about it, though, no. Do we?
But I'm just glad that there's more Dave the Diver content out there.
What's it called? In the Jungle?
I think it's...
Into the Jungle.
Into the Jungle, yeah. So I'm assuming you're just going to be diving in kind of more like swampy...
Yeah, Amazon or
something. Yeah, it's guaranteed it's going to be the same fucking game.
And I'm okay with that.
It's just like... It's a comp... Dave the Diver is really just a compilation of mini games, which
big
is
time.
Crazy.
Yeah. Loads of them. And some of them are good and some of them are not so good. I think we did like the Dave the Diver review episode and both myself, Craig and Colin all hated the fact that you had to clean your goggles. Remember that? Like, there's that icy machine.
I've never known a man. If they did it once, I'd be fine with it. But then like every picture you take in the ice zone, you have to do it. And I'm just like, fuck off.
This is too much for me. Yeah. Do you guys have any video game New Year's resolutions?
I want to... this is an ambitious one, but I do want to get a game on Steam. I do want to release a game on Steam this year.
Nice. Okay.
I have a visual novel. It's a really stupid idea for a visual novel that I really just want. I just want it to be made. I don't even necessarily want to be the one to make it, but I just want it to be made. But I thought it'd be a good idea to a good experience to do that and release it. So I'm making that in RenPy. It's not a complicated project. It just takes a lot of writing and revisions and stuff like that. And then when that's all done, when the writing part of the game is done, I kind of get to work on the art side of it and get it to look how I want it to look.
Nice.
So it's going to be fun. Yeah, it's just, that's what I'd like to do. But it's going to take pretty much all of 2025 to get
Do you have a working title at all?
Yeah, I do.
Do you want a big news? Do you want to spoil it out here or do you want to wait?
I'll wait for now. I do have a title, but I'll wait.
Okay.
I'll hold off on that.
What about you, Chris? Any New Year's resolutions? Going to stop buying loads of Steam games that you'll never play?
Never.
Fuck. Yeah. I just did that too. I bought that Shadow of War and Shadow of Mordor collection.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I haven't played those yet, but the other one I bought that I didn't think I was going to play, but I played it right away, was Hogwarts Legacy.
What did you think?
Kind of fun. I'm not far into it. I've only been to like the town once.
Nice. Yeah. Early on. And are you a Harry Potter fan? I don't think I've ever discussed Harry Potter.
Yeah. I like it. I like the idea of like, you know, wizards and shit like that. Voldemort is cool as fuck. But the problem I have with the game is the same thing problem I have with Harry Potter. It's all little juvenile, like fucking like 1,200 kids in the school and not a strand of facial hair between them.
Yeah.
Like, where's my wizard beards, man?
Yeah. I demand a wizard beard. Yeah. And I like it because we really liked it, but I remember looking at the trailers that I thought it looked like a thing where you did your years in school like quite quickly and then you went out and became a thing, like an aura or a, you know, whatever job you wanted, but that never materialized. It was just like...
No, you're just like, hey, random kid starts in his fifth year. That's never happened before.
And it's okay. I mean, I think it's fun, but I think the narrative of it has a lot of work to do. But, John, we've got news to cover.
News.
December was pretty quiet, all that being told. Like, nothing happened really over Christmas or New Year's that I thought was newsworthy for our great podcast, you know. But the first one I want to go to is Ubisoft shareholders are in talks over possible buyout terms, sources say. And I just want to, like, caveat this whole podcast. A lot of the stories I've picked today are anonymous sources, so I don't know how much of this we can follow. But anytime I was looking at it, I was like, oh, these are
the gossip edition of the
news. Essentially,
these are the tabloids.
Yeah. So this is coming from Reuters by Amy Jo Crowley and Julie Zhu on December 6th. So, shareholders of Ubisoft Entertainment SA are considering how to structure a possible buyout of the Assassin's Creed video game maker without reducing the founding family's control. Two people are familiar with the matter, told Reuters. The Guillemot family, which is the largest and founding shareholder, has been in talks with Tencent and other investors in recent weeks about funding a management-led buyout of France's largest video games maker, the people said, speaking on condition of anonymity. However, the Guillemot family has indicated it would like to retain the control it has over the company, which also makes Just Dance, Far Cry, and Tom Clancy's video game series as part of a deal.
They are getting people to buy them out, but they want
like
to retain control. Like, are they're just asking for money?
Essentially, yeah. I mean, to me, that's like good luck trying to sell that. Like, your decisions have obviously not gone very well that you're making to get the company to this point. It's like, no, come buy it, but we'll still make these terrible decisions. Tencent, currently the second largest shareholder in Ubisoft and China's biggest social network and gaming firm, has yet to decide whether to participate in the buyout and increase its stake in the company, one of the people said. This is partly because it has asked for a greater say on future board decisions, including cash flow distribution, in return for financing the deal, which has not been agreed upon with the Guillemot family, the person added. Discussions between the two parties are ongoing, as Tencent also wants to prevent any potential hostile takeover of Ubisoft by other investors, adding that Tencent's plan is to remain patient and wait for the founding family to agree a deal. Tencent may opt not to increase its stake in Ubisoft as it considers its current direct holding of almost 10% in Ubisoft sufficient for maintaining its gaming business cooperation with the company, the person added. Tencent declined to comment, and a representative of the Guillemot family did not respond to requests for comment. So, quote, "We remain committed to making decisions in the best interest of all our stakeholders," a spokesperson for Ubisoft said. The quote continues, "In this context, as we have already indicated, the company is also reviewing all of its strategic options." In October, Ubisoft said it regularly reviewed all its strategic options, but declined further comment on a report of buyout interest. Shares in Ubisoft rose as much as 16% after this Reuters report, but its shares, and the shares were trading up to 12.1% at €13.2 at the time of writing this report. The buyout talks come as some minority shareholders, including AJ Investments, have been pushing for either a take private or a sale of Ubisoft to a strategic investor amid the stock price plunge. The company's shares fell to their lowest level in the last decade in September after it cut its outlook on weaker than expected sales and postponed the launch of Assassin's Creed Shadows title. Who's going to buy into this, guys?
I don't know. I don't know if you guys are of the same opinion, but Ubisoft has not had a good few years.
No, they're
everyone's of the same opinion,
right? Really bad. And their plan going forward, like their self-announced plan, seems to be, oh, we're just going to do more Assassin's Creed games, and they haven't announced any new titles.
They keep missing and like doing stupid stuff. They're the company that released that DLC that locked you out of the base game if you didn't own the DLC.
Yeah.
And they can't get anything right now.
They did have a success last year. That Prince of Persia game was...
And they canned the studio.
Yeah. It was their biggest success in years.
Shocker.
People were super into it, and they had already canned the studio by the time it came out. They are doing bad.
Yeah, bad decisions. And it's mad as well, because it's like... Sometimes you think Star Wars is a license to print money in some regards, but them bringing out Outlaws was just an absolute flop as well. The game was, like, for the most part, incredibly boring. You know,
you think Star Wars is a license to print money? Yeah, I've always looked at them as just like kind of like the old, like the same way I look at superhero games. They're just Diamond Dozen.
Yeah, it's like that's fair. That's difficult fair. Bar to clear in terms of expectation.
I mean, the best Star Wars game, arguably, I guess, but I'm pretty sure it was the Super Nintendo, and like they haven't been able to get that shit right since.
Yeah,
which one was that?
Where your Luke Skywalker?
Skywalker, yeah, it was like very 2D, very hard game.
Like Contra.
Yeah. I know the one. Yeah, that was kind of when it was at its best. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and Tencent, it's interesting that they're kind of everywhere. They kind of have been buying up everything for the last little while. So
interesting that they don't feel a need to get their hat in the ring.
But how, like, if you're, again, like, if you're an investor, why would you want to put more money in with the same people making all the same decisions? Like, where's the financial sense in that?
Well, that's what doesn't make any sense. Like, they're asking for people to invest in them, but, like, they still want to retain control so they can continue making their poor fucking decisions. Like,
yeah, it sounds like
wacky.
It sounds like they're just setting up the framework to sell the whole company completely someday.
Yeah,
but they don't want to do it now.
Yeah,
but they're getting the ball rolling.
And it's crazy as well, because as you said, with that Prince of Persia studio being closed down, that was probably like a low cost, high income kind of studio, because the game isn't like a massive AAA. It probably doesn't like spiral out of control cost wise for a thing like that. Mm-hmm. But
madness. And what's interesting as well, because I'm applying for a lot of games jobs at the moment, Ubisoft have been hiring like crazy the past year. Like the past year or two, they've been crewing up on so many different projects in so many different studios around Europe.
And you reckon that's like turnover, or?
I don't think it's turnover, because of the
the variety of jobs that there are. I think these are new projects that they're
It's interesting that you say that, because there's another part like later on in the article where it says, this week it announced it would discontinue development of its gaming title X Defiant, and as a consequence close its production studios in San Francisco and Osaka.
Yeah.
It's
the other one.
And ramp down production in Sydney. Ubisoft is run by the Guillemot Fund, which owns 50%, blah, blah, blah. But like, they're closing down a couple of studios as well. So I wonder, is that like turnover, or they're just like you said, are they just like running headless at the minute to be like, well, let's just pump the money we don't have into these projects that probably won't be successful?
It's some kind of gambit. Like, they're going all in on some strategy here, and it seems to be a bit of a death rattle.
And it was, as you said, Chris, one of the decisions that really annoyed me, like you're saying, oh, that DLC thing, that if you didn't own that, you couldn't play the base game anymore. I remember there was some Settlers game, it's the name Settlers of something, and I was like, oh, this looks really fun. And I turned it on, like, clicked new game, and it said, please log into your Ubisoft account. No, and I uninstalled it off the game immediately. I was like, this is not something I want to... Like, I just want to play my game. I don't want to have to sign up to... I bought the game. Well, I mean, it was free on the PlayStation. I didn't buy the game. But I'm like, I'm here. I want to play the game. I just shouldn't have to sign up for anything else to go and do that. So,
yeah,
bad decisions.
Ubisoft isn't the only one to be doing that. There's so many companies. Even Settlers does that. Settlers. Civilization.
Civ, yeah. You don't have to sign up. Maybe
not on the console, but and on PC, because they just bricked Civ 5. It's unplayable right now because they removed the 2K launcher, but it broke the game. Now people can't play it, and people are like throwing fits. They'll fix it. I'm sure they'll fix it.
I love Civ 5.
But that's the thing, because I think for the console, you can choose to link your 2K account when you log in, but it's not a must do, whatever. Which is great.
You have to go on PC.
It's madness making. That was so bad like 10 years ago, like in the 2012 to 2014, like every game had a proprietary thing you had to sign in for. It was the worst.
Yeah, it's like no one wants that, and I don't know how that is serving you as a company either. But anyway, on another note, the Nintendo Switch has now outsold the PS2 in the US. This is coming from The Gamer by Jack Coleman.
Happened
December 18th was when this was published. The PlayStation 2 has long been considered the most successful game console of all time, having sold over 160 million units worldwide. However, people have been predicting that the long lifespan of the Nintendo Switch may eventually threaten the undisputed dominance of the PlayStation 2, and this inevitably has reportedly come to pass. Well-known industry analyst Matt Piscatella is reporting that data from the market research company Circana suggests that the Nintendo Switch has now outsold the PlayStation 2 in the United States. This is a significant milestone for the console, as the Switches are already outsold the PS2 in Japan, meaning that this recent data suggests the Switch is now bigger than the PS2 in two of the world's biggest gaming markets. It should be noted that neither the PS2 nor the Switch are actually the best-selling consoles ever in the United States. What do you guys, before I go on, what do you reckon is the best-selling console in the US?
I thought it was PlayStation 2. It could be Game Boy.
Yeah, I was thinking Game Boy as well, but...
The Nintendo DS.
Oh, Nintendo DS?
Yeah. It's sold... The handheld is a stalwart, having sold only 6 million fewer units than the PS2 worldwide, supposedly. So the lifespan of the Switch, originally released in 2017, has been a lucrative one for Nintendo, following the relative failure of the Wii U. The Switch represents a massive bounce back for the Japanese conglomerate. Although the Switch's numbers have been declining for a while, this trend is set to continue as Nintendo prepares to announce the Switch's successor.
I don't know how they're still getting numbers, man. Like, who doesn't own a Switch yet?
Right?
Like, how are they still selling them? It just doesn't make any sense.
It's like, what are we talking, like... 3, 4, 7, 8 years almost now down the line?
Yeah, about 8 years. Nearly nine. Yeah.
Hats off to them. Still not good enough to overtake the PS2, though. Worldwide, that is. Worldwide. Given that Nintendo has confirmed it won't be revealing the Switch 2 until the end of this financial year, March 2025, we can probably expect the console to release for the holiday period in 2025. This gives us an idea of some of the potential launch titles, like Pokemon Legends ZA, which is set to release also in 2025. There's a constant rumor mill of prototype Switch designs involving Chinese manufacturers and no small amount of intrigue. The reality is that we don't know what the new console will look like, but everyone suspects it looks like a bigger Nintendo Switch. As they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Do you think the Switch 2 will sell? Like, if it is just a bigger, more powerful version of the Switch, do you think it's going to be a successful sell?
Yeah, well, yes. I think it's going to be a successful sell regardless of the specs. I think the brand is just obviously immaculate. Like, they'd have to... Like, in the same way the PS2 was such a good sell, The PS3 sold really, really well, even though they messed up the price point and they messed up the release and all that kind of thing. It still sold amazingly.
I was only looking at a thing today about, like, they did the inflation on all the console prices when they were come out. And the PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 3, if you were to buy them today, are the two most expensive consoles from the PlayStation side of things, which I thought was an interesting fact, because everyone's giving out about PS5 is so expensive, blah, blah, blah. But if you were to buy a PlayStation 1 in today's money, it would cost more than the PS5. Yeah, the
PS5 now costs the same as the PS3 did when it came out. I'm like, madness.
Yeah.
I think it'll do well regardless. Whether or not there's a market for it, I don't know. I don't know if it's... there'll be an initial burst, I think, regardless of like when the console comes out. Because the Switch, Nintendo are doing so well. The Switch is doing so well. There's so much popularity. There's people who, like, to answer your question from earlier, Chris, a lot of the people who buy more Nintendo Switches are people who already have them and just want to switch Lite. Maybe they want to switch Lite for their kids.
Or the OLED, because they're like nicer screen.
Or the OLED, or that kind of thing. They've really managed that side of it really well, I think, Nintendo have. I think it'll be successful in the short term. I don't know about the long term.
Chris, will you buy a Nintendo Switch too?
I think it's going to be another Wii U situation.
Oh, really?
Yep.
A big flat fail?
Yep. I think it's essentially they're too much in the same direction. Probably not that much more powerful and unlikely to have better games than, like, because they're going to have to release with, like, the new Metro Prime already looks like shit.
It does.
Nobody wants that. Although, is that coming out on the Switch?
No, it was announced for the Switch, for the normal Switch, so I think it might be a cross-console one for sure.
Right, so they have to come out with the new Zelda, which I'm sure they had won't be for years because they just had Tears of the Kingdom. They need a new Smash to take out Ultimate, which...
Is that even possible?
Yeah, fuck off. That's going to be tough. A 3D Mario, like...
Because that's the thing as well.
There's not going to be nothing.
There's no noise of any games that are going to be...
nothing. It's just two negatives.
But it's weird because that's the thing. I guess they'll announce it maybe in March is the expectation for when Nintendo will finally announce it. But my thing about it is what games are they going to announce? I haven't heard a pipe. And the last couple of Nintendo Directs have been like, yikes, we are shoveling the bottom of that barrel to get things out to the Switch. Yeah, so...
I think, just a side note, like, the Switch is my favorite console, like, hands down, my favorite console. It's not my favorite ecosystem, because the games are so expensive, but I love it so much as a console. I am personally just very excited to see what they come up with in March or whenever that is.
Is there anything that Nintendo would be selling you with the Nintendo Switch 2 that would make you not want to buy it, Luke? Or are you going to be like, I'm getting on that Nintendo Switch 2 train?
No, I think it does come down to the games for me. Because again, Nintendo games are so expensive. So if the games aren't that great...
What's the point?
It'd be great to have a Switch 2.
I think they're going to scramble and try to push the fact that you'll be able to run games that are already out but can't run on Switch. But Switch 2 will be able to handle them. Like, I don't know, Space Marine 2 or something.
PS4 kind of style games or some shit.
It's just like, we've been able to play that shit for years.
Yeah.
They might have pushed themselves into a bit of a corner because with the Switch, they set it up that... Oh, the air conditioning went down. I don't know if the listeners can
hear. Yeah, I don't know if you guys were able to hear that before, but it's so peaceful in here now.
It's so peaceful all of a sudden. I think Switch kind of pushed itself into a bit of a corner where it got... It set up a console with certain specs and it got all the developers to design to those specs. So there's nothing like all my Switch experiences that I enjoy because they play perfectly on the Switch. I don't need a more powerful console for that. It's a tricky one. There's a bit of a...
The one thing I'm interested in is that, like, we got the reports, I think we covered it in like maybe November or something, where Sakurai has supposedly been working on this game for the last 2 or 3 years. And I'm like, do they have a big new IP to announce for the Nintendo Switch 2 that people are going to be like, damn, that looks great?
Nintendo new IP?
You don't think so, Chris? Think it'd be...
A new IP? I don't even think that's the right direction.
You think just get a Zelda?
Why not make more Zeldas, more Marios, more Smashes, more Mario Karts? Like, that's... Why people? That's, I mean, not the only reason, but
that's probably the
pretty big reason why you buy a Nintendo. That's why it's the only console I even own.
Because
I want them games, yo.
What's the most new Nintendo IP? Is it Pikmin? Or what is it?
No, isn't it like one of those like No More Heroes or something like that, isn't it?
I mean, I know she's already exists, but they did that like Peach standalone game, Princess Peach Showtime. But I mean, it's not an IP. No, yeah. I don't think so.
I think
Pikmin's
like,
probably
like the No More Heroes kind of stuff.
Is that pure Nintendo? Is it?
Well, maybe not. I don't know.
I don't. I'm not. I can't say for sure. Let us know. Giftedgamepodcast@gmail.com.
What about you? Do you think?
I don't know. I think it depends on what it. To me, I have to see the announcement. I think I'll make my decision when they announce it. Because
okay, so you get an educated decision and you put us on the spot.
You're damn right, Chris. Yeah, I own this shit.
What kind of podcast are you running here?
No, I think I don't. At the minute, I don't know. Because like that, I'm leaning towards the fact that, yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But like, if it ain't broke, why buy a new one?
What could you possibly do from here?
Yeah, exactly. So I was a bit disappointed when I saw some of the leaks of what it was expected to look like, and it's just essentially a Switch, just probably bigger, and it's got magnetized clip-on things instead of the slide ones. Like,
wouldn't it be wild if the release game for the Switch 2 is Pal World?
Oh, wow.
Nintendo just stabs the Pokemon company in the back.
Yeah. Wow, that would be bad. I just don't think, to me right now, I'm like, I need, as it stands, I'm like, I wish they kind of did go a bit more wacky, because it's kind of like, historically, it's kind of like, hey, here's the Wii. We all love that. Here's the Wii U. It's more powerful. Oh, we all hate that. You know, yeah. And it's a Switch. Hey, we love that Switch too. It's just the same thing, more powerful. Like, no, we don't like that. And I guess it's probably going to be the same thing. It has a dock and it's handheld. So that's going to be like convenient and things like that. But if they're not doing anything relatively new, like I need to see the Nintendo Direct where they show that and they say, here's the launch lineup. And then I'll be able to say, you know what? That's really cool. Or there is nothing here for most Nintendo gamers.
And they have to make it backwards compatible with your digital games.
Absolutely.
I think that's been confirmed. I think even with your physical copies of games, I think the Switch 2 is backwards compatible. I think. But moving on from Nintendo, we go to Microsoft and Xbox. And Xbox may be done with permanent console exclusive. This is coming from Viraj Bhatnagar from Game Rant. A credible insider, here we go again, has claimed that Xbox might be relinquishing permanent console exclusivity going forward. 2024 marked a dramatic change in Xbox exclusivity strategy as Microsoft began publishing its first-party games on rival platforms, PlayStation and Nintendo. And it seems the company's multi-platform efforts will only deepen as time goes on. Earlier this year, Xbox top brass announced that four of the platform holders' first-party games, namely Pentiment, Sea of Thieves, Grounded, and Hi-Fi Rush, will head to PlayStation and Nintendo consoles. This major strategic shift came as a huge shock to Xbox fans and was reportedly driven by internal pressure from Microsoft to recoup the $68.7 billion investment to acquire Activision Blizzard. Over the course of 2024,
Money makes me fucking,
like, it's crazy. It's crazy. I can't fathom it, though. Over the course of 2024, more Xbox first-party games were announced for PS5, such as Doom, The Dark Ages, and Indiana Jones and The Great Circle. The recent Game Awards 2024 show revealed that Obsidian's upcoming The Outer Worlds 2 will launch on PS5 day one next year, further casting doubt on Xbox plans for console exclusivity. To shed some light on the matter, reliable Microsoft insider Jez Corden recently took to Twitter to claim an unfortunate future for Xbox fans. According to Corden, the era of permanent Xbox exclusives is over, and previous upcoming Xbox console exclusives like Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2, Avowed, South of Midnight, etc. will make their way to PS5 and other competing platforms over time. As for why Xbox has yet to announce its remaining console exclusives for PS5, Corden said that the platform holder doesn't want to levy a mandate on first-party teams that aren't ready for multi-platform simultaneous development. This likely means that every Xbox first-party studio is in the process of developing PS5 and potentially Nintendo Switch 2 versions of its current and upcoming Series XS console exclusives. Corden's specific inclusion of simultaneous is also noteworthy, as it implies that every Xbox first-party game going forward might launch on PS5 day one and date alongside Series XS and PC. My one main question to you, does this spell the end of Halo in terms of future Halo games? Or do you think they will make Halo for everybody going forward? Like, are those kind of mascot games for the Xbox done?
You asked me personally.
I mean, you are previously the for artists formerly known as Mr. Xbox.
I've given up that title.
I'm no longer that man.
I'm just a rogue vagabond. I don't have a country.
He's a Steam Deck guy now.
I'm a Steam Deck guy now.
Love sniffing that shit.
Sniffing those air vents. Is it the end of Halo? I'm not super optimistic for the future of Halo regardless. I don't know. I think Halo can be a great thing in future. Whether or not it's going to stay, I think it'll always have a mascot hood kind of situation with the Xbox. I don't think
anyone else, because they can still manage the image and the advertising and stuff like that around that, so it can still remain the mascot. I don't like one of the people speaking in the article there, I think it was Jen Courtney, was it, was saying
Corden, is it actually James Corden? That's so funny.
James Corden himself.
Jez Corden, excuse me.
Jez Corden.
Yeah.
Said that it's bad news for Xbox fans that like these titles are going to other consoles. That doesn't strike me as bad news. I don't see why that's bad news.
I think it goes down to the old console war thing where people are like, my thing is better than your thing. But as far as I'm concerned, everything should be available everywhere. You know, financially, it makes sense, I think, for the fans and like cross play, all that kind of stuff. I think what it should come down to is like, which infrastructure do you prefer more? Like, do you like looking at the Xbox menu? Do you prefer looking at the Sony PlayStation? Like, do you like Xbox's, you know, their systems and how they're doing with the cloud? Or do you like PlayStation's more remote play and focus on those kind of things? But the shit should be just available everywhere. Like, Naughty Dog would be singing if they could have put The Last of Us 1, 2 on Xbox and PC and in a really bad version on the Nintendo Switch, like, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just as someone who, like, as gamers, it's really annoying.
That's what you want to call us, yeah.
It's really annoying to, it's more annoying than anything else that I'll play like a game that's a console exclusive on Xbox and I can't talk about it with anyone. Like,
yeah.
I'm just playing it for myself and having the experience and then, I don't know, looking on the Reddit or something.
They mentioned one, South of Midnight, and I was actually I watched that Xbox showcase, whatever they call it. I think it's the Xbox showcase, and they announced that game and I was like, damn, that looks so good. But I'll never really probably be able to play that unless I get involved in the Xbox infrastructure. I'm delighted that it's coming to PlayStation 5, and I think that should be like something that everyone should cheer, because the age of exclusivity is probably not, just probably not good or positive for the industry as a whole.
For consumers. I don't think it's great for people who like games. So I don't really mind this. It's nice, and it's interesting to see how that plays into, obviously, Xbox's broader strategy of turning everything into an Xbox. It kind of makes sense. It kind of lines up with that vision, but I don't know. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I think it's exciting.
Yeah, let's go. Okay, so before we move on, I just want to let the listeners know about our Patreon. I'm actually going to do like an organized promotion skit in the episodes now. So if you haven't heard already, for the cost of a coffee a month, you can gain access to all of our post shows, including extra gaming news, the Gift of Gaming Battle Royale, where we pit video game characters against one another in the Ultimate Showdown, and early access to any of our Gift of Gaming Games Club episodes, where we review our times with new and old games. If you hop on now, there is over 80 episodes to listen to, so it's an absolute bargain. And your support helps us grow the podcast so we can bring you bigger and better content. Want to take a look or tell your mates? Keep enjoying the gift that is gaming. And also, if you want to get in touch, our hopes here at the Gift of Gaming podcast is to create a community of like-minded gamers to discuss all things video games. Although we are terribly out of touch on social media, 2025 is the year of change, and we, as in I, hope to expand out and update. Chris, you can't be laughing out here, right? I'm taking this very seriously. It's the year of change. I'm hoping to expand out and update you on all the social media classes like Instagram and X, although this will more likely be Blue Sky instead, because I don't want anything to do with X. In the meantime, why not send us your thoughts on our episodes as they come out? We love reading emails, and we're available at thegiftofgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Look forward to hearing from you all. Peace out. On with the episode, gentlemen. Thank you for allowing me to indulge in that horrible self-promotion.
All good.
No, I'm not getting involved in
something. Chris, I'm a new man. It's 2025, okay?
It's not going to happen.
Oh, well, you just wait and see. I'm going to have the best damn Instagram people have ever seen. It's going to be so hard. Publishers reportedly refused to commit to 2025 until GTA 6 release date gets revealed. This is coming from Ryan Dinsdale and IGN. So Grand Theft Auto publisher Take-Two Interactive still haven't revealed the GTA 6 release date. And other publishers are reportedly refusing to commit to 2025 until they know they can avoid it. Anonymous sources familiar with publisher deliberations told Bloomberg that the anticipation for Rockstar's Games' next big title is so high that it's causing ramifications for the rest of the video game industry. GTA 6 is currently scheduled for a vague fall 2025 release, but many are cautious of a delay since Rockstar hasn't said anything about the game in over a year since it released a record-breaking trailer showing off the modern Vice City. Publishers therefore want to see if Rockstar will release GTA in fall 2025 or postpone it to 2026, essentially so they can do the opposite. Grand Theft Auto is such a colossal franchise that rivals are scared of it monopolizing consumer attention, and GTA 6 in particular is expected to be the best-selling game of all time. The GTA 6 trailer, which reintroduced fans to Rockstar's take on Miami, Vice City, features a ton of intricate details and plenty of references to wild and wacky real-life events. While the game was revealed as a PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S game, PC players were left frustrated, though not necessarily surprised, that their platform was left off the list. They weren't the ones a little peeved, though, as several developers from Rockstar itself took to social media to express their frustration at the trailer leaking early. In fact, the entire industry shared the disappointment that the exciting moment was dampened. Several streamers were also hit with content strikes and takedowns in the wake of the leak. Regardless, it still surpassed Minecraft to become the second most watched video game trailer of all time. I didn't even know Minecraft had a trailer.
It's news to me too, actually. kind of off topic though. Did you see all the tweets from Notch about like Minecraft 2?
No.
No. Yeah, no.
Yeah, he's teasing Minecraft too.
I was looking at his Twitter the other day. He's so nuts.
Yeah, he's insane. So it's all just.
I think I saw a video of his where he's living right now, and he's living the absolute life. Big old pool. I think he's got like M&M dispensers for breakfast and things like that.
Yeah.
Living the dream. Are you guys surprised by the news that people want to avoid GTA 6 release dates?
No, kind of.
I think I'm actually surprised. This is kind of like the first time I've ever heard this.
In terms of it, definitely has effects. Like one of my favorite series is Horizon, and Horizon 1 came out at the same in the same month or in the same couple of weeks as God of War 2018, and Horizon Zero Dawn 2 came out at the same time, I think, possibly as Baldur's Gate 3, thereabouts. It was another big game for Horizon 2. So it missed it, like, you know, like it's a brilliant game, but never hit the heights it should have because what came out around it was so successful and like just swept under the rug, essentially.
I don't know if that's even, it's still out though. It's not like it disappeared.
No, but
it wasn't as successful as it probably could have been had they released it at a different time period in history.
Yeah, because people only have a limited amount of time to play games.
Most and income. Do. Yeah.
And income. So they're going to choose a game for a period. And if it comes, man, I know Outer Wilds
people
came out the same.
Stop buying the release game and wait until they go on for like half off and get two of them.
I agree. That's how I buy games. But not everyone likes to.
Is there any other game you can think of in recent history that probably would have had the same effect as GTA?
It's Elden Ring.
Oh.
You reckon Elden Ring is a bit of a game killer? Luke, did you have any others?
No, I just I had the same experience for Outer Wilds because I played Outer Wilds shortly after it came out, but it came out the same month as Outer Worlds.
Yes, which has always confused me.
That's just marketing-wise, that was a nightmare decision and people got the two confused all the time. No, I don't. I'm trying to think of game killers. I think Elden Ring was definitely one.
Final Fantasy Rebirth could have been too, actually.
I think, and you know, to me it makes sense, but it being the second installment of a three-parter of a pretty wacky story, I don't think that, because that never reached the heights that they expected to, and I think it was a fairly kind of clear...
Oh, yeah, I guess, I mean, I've been saying this for a while now, like, that, like, this trilogy, each game is only going to have less success, because they're only going to lose people over time, I think. I don't think they'll gain. Like, nobody's going to jump in halfway, like, into the second installment.
No, I don't think so. I think my hope for it is that when they announce a third one and the third one is complete, they'll see a surge in purchases like, for, like, two or three. Because people were like, oh, hey, it's, like, the story's finished. I'll go and play it now. Because I'd always be very nervous about watching a TV show if I'm not aware that the last season's been made. Like lots of people trying to get me to watch Mindhunter because it's amazing. But Mindhunter, after season two, was cancelled for a season three, never appeared again, and I'm like, that would frustrate the absolute hell out of me.
Might come back someday.
So they say. Yeah. And another one that happened was Out of Range was
Game of Thrones and the King Killer Chronicles, just two unfinished book series.
There you go. He's got a habit of not finishing books, you know. Do you guys think GTA 6 will be the greatest selling game of all time?
Yes. Because GTA 5 was. Or it was like damn well close.
I think Minecraft still has the top numbers ahead of GTA 5, but I think in terms of money-wise, GTA 5 has been the most successful from a monetary perspective.
It took a while for Minecraft to take the spot from GTA 5. So I think it's like Tetris was number one, and then GTA 5, and then Minecraft for the longest time.
Minecraft has the edge because it's available on...
So many things.
Anything. Everything.
Yeah.
But GTA 5 just sold like... nuts numbers and has been so successful.
My only argument against it, I'm leaning more towards it will be, you know, a great game or a great selling game and probably break records. But GTA 5 didn't come out in the at advent of woke culture. So I'm wondering.
Oh, that's true.
GTA 6 in this whole new woke age we live in.
How they'll navigate
it. Yeah, how it'll land.
GTA 6 gonna get canceled. Whoa.
Maybe. Yeah, kids, maybe. Kids be crazy, man.
Kids be crazy. To the point of like it getting delayed. I think that was quite expected that it would be so like readily delayed because there were so many, like after GTA 5 and like a little bit after that with RDR 2. Rockstar went through the fucking...
The crunch. They haven't got the greatest record, really, for that.
Really bad PR around their crunch culture in Rockstar. So they don't want to be seen to be repeating the mistakes of the past there. So there was always going to be a very not concrete release date, I think.
I think if there's one game that could be as big as a killer as GTA 6, it's got to be Kingdom Hearts 4.
This fucking guy has jokes.
How do you say that with a straight face? Because you're clearly going to be joking.
Yeah, I like to live my life in my own way.
Kingdom Hearts 4. People are going to be so fucking confused. Like, there's going to be all these new kids that have never heard of Kingdom Hearts.
We won't need woke culture for Kingdom Hearts 4 to get cancelled. Because people are like, what the fuck is going on?
And so it's called Kingdom Hearts 4, but it's the 14th game in iterations.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll go on to our last story for today, gentlemen. This is Wallace and Gromit Studio Aardman is working on a Pokemon project. This
Wonderful.
Coming from Charles Pullian Moore from The Verge. The studio behind Chicken Run and Shaun the Sheep is getting into the Pokemon business in 2027. Aardman Animation, the studio behind the Wallace and Gromit Chicken Run and Shaun the Sheep. I'm not saying that properly at all. Hang on. Behind the Wallace and Gromit Chicken Run and Shaun the Sheep franchises is working with the Pokemon Company International on a mysterious new project. In a surprising turn of events, TCPI and Aardman announced today that they're teaming up for a special project that's set to be released sometime in 2027. In a press release about the collaboration, TCP Marketing and Media VP Taito Okuro described it as a dream partnership for Pokemon. Aardman's Managing Director Sean Clark added that it was both a huge honor and privilege to be tasked with presenting the Pokemon world in a new way. Quote, bringing together Pokemon, the world's biggest entertainment brand, together with our love of craft, character, and comedic storytelling, feels incredibly exciting, Clark said. Aardman and TPCI share an emphasis on heritage and attention to detail, as well as putting our fans and audiences at the heart of what we do, which we know will steer us right as we together create charming, original, and new stories for the audiences around the world, end quote. Aside from the projected release year, there aren't at all many details about what the collaboration is or how we'll be able to consume it. Clearly, stop-motion claymation will be involved, but what's less obvious is whether this will end up being a movie, a series, or perhaps a game, which wouldn't be a first for Aardman. This sort of team-up makes a lot of sense for TCPI after the success of Detective Pikachu and surprise delights like Pokemon Concierge. And the closer we get to 2027, it feels like there's a very strong chance this will be something that has people buzzing. I mean, did you guys see the new Wallace and Gromit movie? The one that came out this year?
No.
Vengeance Most Fell?
A new one came out.
Yeah, it came out in December. It was very good. A new guy was voicing Wallace as well. Did an amazing job. Just sounds just like Wallace. But I watched it tonight because I think the ones they had before that were like Curse of the Were-Rabbit and that Baker's one where the woman's trying to get all the bakers killed and... I can't remember what that one was so called.
There's one where, with a chicken stealing a diamond or something. Right?
Yeah, so the Vengeance...
Or no, Penguin.
Penguin, but he's dressed, he puts a rubber glove on his head and he disguises himself as a chicken. Yeah, that's the whole skit. But this one is about his revenge.
Oh, okay.
So he comes back. Yeah, he was one of the most popular villains. Pants. Yeah. I'm really excited. I love Aardman. I love the things that they do. What would you most like to see? What format would you most like to see this in?
What do you mean?
Like a movie, a TV series, a video game?
Oh,
movie.
A game would be wild.
I don't know if that would be promising, you know? I'm not...
I think I'd skip it.
I think
I just want Wallace and Gromit comedy.
I think a TV in movie series.
Pokemon, yeah.
I think a TV series.
Did either of you guys watch Pokemon Concierge?
No, but it looks beautiful.
Oh, it was nice. It was quite chill.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy it, Chris?
Yeah, quite a bit.
It's quite easy watching.
Yeah. Psyduck is the new mascot.
After Detective Pikachu as well, he became super popular. But he was amazing in Detective Pikachu, I have to say. That's it. That's all the news I have for you guys. December was pretty quiet.
Pretty light.
Pretty light on the old news. But for our listeners, Patreon, if you're interested, we will be jumping into our Battle Royale series. We will be finalizing the last three spots. We'll be jumping through them quite quickly to the last three fights. If you're keen to see Mega Man go up against Joanna Dark or Mario versus Akuma, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/thegiftofgaming. Luke, Chris, on this very wet and miserable Irish day in the new year, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for picking me up to get me here. I appreciate that.
Yeah, would have been a pretty horrible day to walk. Yes. And to our listeners, Happy New Year. And as always and forever, keep enjoying the gift that is gaming. Peace out.
Peace out.